That was good. Good to be with you. Amen. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 as our text verse. The scripture tells us, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks for this opportunity to preach your word. And Lord, we need you more than ever. We are a desperate people. They need to hear from you. And Lord, touch our hearts and speak to us and do a work in each one of our lives, Lord, that you bring us to that place that you want each one of us to be. Lord, get glory out of each one of our lives and do great mighty things through each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oftentimes, someone will say, I am fine with where I am. I don't want to change anything about my life. Though we should be content with each one of our lives, spiritually, we should be willing to change, to improve, and to move forward. God always wants us to change. He wants to change us. He wants to mold us. He wants to modify us. He wants to move us in the direction that He has for us. What God has created changes. You look at the flowers, you look at the insects, you look at everything that's natural around us, the animals, and of course, human babies change to become kids, wonderful kids, wonderful teenagers, and terrible parents, right? Wonderful parents. That's the way it is. It's natural. And God naturally allows these physical changes to take place all around us. But God is wanting to do the same thing spiritually. He wants the changes to take place. God allows change, and He wants us to cooperate with those changes. When we were born again, according to Scripture, His Spirit came inside of us. And guess what? God is after us to completely change us. And He's not done. Regardless of the age, where we're at in life, He continues to bring us to a place to change, to grow. In fact, Romans 12:2 tells us that, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Spirit is the part of us that God asks us to renew, to transform, to change. God calls us to that change here, regardless of what we are in life, so that we can experience what? Misery? No, so we can experience the best. That's what it says here, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's wonderful. I don't know about you, but when it comes to life, I want to be doing what is best for me, what God has for me. When it comes to the person I marry, I'm married, by the way, but I would want the best person for me. When it comes to business or to ministry, I want God to use all the labor, all the effort that we put into that, the resources and the talents to glorify Himself. And just let me be in on it. Just let me be part of it. And God wants to be involved in every part. There's not a section where we leave Sunday and Sunday night and go back to our normal life. No, it's all about Him. Anything we do. God uses His word to change, to renew us, to prepare us for what is coming. So let it be. Let it happen, this change. Don't be afraid of this change that keeps trying to work in your life and pressure being applied, maybe by different people that God is using in your life. Don't be afraid of it. Let God do it. He's using people. He's using situation to bring us where He needs us to be. A young man by the name of Mick at our church that I met 4 months ago came in for the first time. We started discipleship, and he was very familiar with scriptures and had been taught in the Word of God, but never understood salvation. In our studies, I taught him as he was saved, as if he was saved, sorry, my French. But he never understood the salvation. So kept working with him after a couple studies. I asked him if he ever heard of this biblical presentation of the gospel. He said he never had heard of this. And of course, he wanted to be saved. He received the Lord, was baptized following that, and continues in our discipleships. And neat thing is, he now invites people to come to church, and the same process keeps going over again, and I disciple with the people that he brings in. It's wonderful. Why did this happen? There's nothing magical to this. It's the simple, basic truth that he allowed God to change him. Lord, change me. I want to learn something new. I don't want to remain where I'm at. And God is doing a work through them. You know, every people that are willing to change, they move forward quite rapidly, whether it's in a business, in a church atmosphere, where they're willing and they want to grow. It happens pretty quickly. And God does some marvelous thing through them. It's not complicated. God has always been in the business of changing his people for our best and above all for his glory. And to do all that, God uses people. He uses the prayer of people. You want to see change in your life, the life of your family, the friends, really a change that you want to see and you've been hoping to see. You want to see those changes? Pray persistently. Pray persistently, and God will be persistently unto them. He'll do his work. Just trust him. We're heading into this new year, and I'll tell you what, this is what we need more than anything else. We need the Christians to really pray and believe God for some people, some family members, and some friends at work, and some individual neighbors, whoever it may be, that you know we need to pray for them, and let God do the work. God will do the work. He will be persistently on them. God can do what we cannot do. He will change their attitude. He will change their priorities, their action, and he will change their testimony for his honor and glory. And we have seen it over and over again in the lives of people. And that's wonderful to see our church go forward, your church go forward, where God moves in the hearts of people. And you don't have to pull them by the teeth, huh? Convince them, but the Lord does the convincing and sees them come along. I remember the testimony of one of my best friends who now serves in the church. When he was invited to our church for the first time about 5 years ago by someone, he told that person, "No, I'm not going to church." He says, "I'm very busy." So that Sunday morning when he drove where he needed to go, he saw the lights behind his car. They were, of course, flashing. Those are the lights of a police. Was pulling him over because his registration was expired. Right there and then, even as an unbeliever, he told the police officer, "I know why you pulled me over. To remind me that I should be in church this morning." He thanked the police officer. This is a true story. And has been in church ever since, serving the Lord. Of course, came to know Christ after that. God is persistent. His friend had been praying for him, by the way, a whole lot. God is persistent. God is doing his work, even though it doesn't seem like he is. He's working. And his timing is perfect. Just keep on. The obstacle to growth today, number one, we're going to look at the obstacles to growth, is a lack of maturity. The lack of maturity. 1 Corinthians 3:1, the scripture tells us, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." They were big babies. Kind of like those that cannot accept a loss when it comes to hockey games, huh? Big babies. I have my turn, too. I knew it was coming. Sports. And golf, too. How many opportunities in life and how many blessings in life have we missed because of the mentality of a child, small children, even as adult, many stay as little children. Spiritually, they're children. It is each our responsibility, young or old, to nourish ourselves, not just with milk, as the scripture says, but with meat, in order to grow, as the Bible tells us in verse 2. I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Paul clearly tells the believers, I would like to give you some good food, some good words, some good messages that would help you grow. That's what I'd like to concentrate on. Really, Christians growing and moving forward in their spiritual life and encouraging them and helping them. But rather, I have to come here and deal with issues that are issues of childish behavior, division and envy and jealousy in the midst of the church. The church should be a place where God's people are saying, God, give us. Give us more meat, God. Come on, give it to us, preacher. We want that good meat. Huh? Back home, we like filet mignon as meat. Ribeyes, huh? The real stuff. Give it to us. If a Christian is not growing and not changing, if he has to say, where is the beef, the spiritual meat, then the problem is most likely similar to that of the Church of Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 3, 3 and 4, the Bible says, for you are yet carnal, for is there among you envying and strife and division? Are you not carnal and walk as man? For while one saith, I am Paul, another, I am Paulos, are you not carnal? Paul tells them, when I visit you, I can't really talk to you about spiritual things. You have forgotten the reason why you're here, church. Why are we really here? Is this just a social gathering? Are we involved in the greatest organization on the face of the earth? Why are we here? You have forgotten the function of the body, the church. You've forgotten that this is all about Him and not us. Christians, keep your motivation in check for what you're doing. Keep it in check. What's our motivation? What is it? Is it just to please man? Have an appearance? What is it? In this life, we see people jumping from one relationship to another, from one job to another, from one standard to another. People change. Simply to say, it's in human nature to create division, to be discontented, to always think that life is greener over there, that the weather is better over there. Amen. By the way, I want to settle something because I keep hearing people saying that we're here because of the weather. Come on. We're here to be a blessing. All right? Just happens to be during Christmas time. Coldest time of the year. So, you know, the reality is the right approach to life is found within the Bible. That's it. For the Word makes everything clear about our reason for living, our reason to be part of the church, our reason for ministry, and of course the importance of not falling to the trap of division, envy, and jealousy as we see in our text with the church of Corinth that Paul calls carnal. Spiritual maturity will endeavor to keep peace within, whether it's in a church, in our home, even with a business, to endeavor. It's a lot of work, by the way. It's putting self aside to do that. The absence of maturity will cause a battle within the walls of church and a home, etc. That's what it will do. The battle should be outside the church, but not inside. We have a world to lead to Jesus Christ. We have a great mission before us. There's no time, there's no place for division. Obstacle to growth is a lack of maturity, and that's a real problem. Number two, lack of laborers in our text, 1 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. Paul sets the record straight here in our text. It's not that he didn't have laborers. It's that the laborers didn't work well together at all. So in reality, there was really no laboring to make an impact. They work independently. Me, I'm with Paul, and the other says, I'm with Apollos, and the story went on. So in reality, we're working against each other, where we're supposed to be moving forward and accomplishing things for the cause of Christ. We're doing the opposite. Things aren't progressing. So there's a lack of good laborers. They're not seeking to accomplish the same goal. A good example of this is I'm reminded of, we've been talking about hockey lately. I remember the hockey match in 1980. Between the United States, it was the Olympics. The United States and Russia were in the Olympic final in Lake Placid, New York. At that time, the USA team was composed of the best players from different colleges and universities across the United States. They picked the best players of each university to come. I mean, that was the real Olympics back then. That was interesting. There was a lot of heart into that game. So these young men are coming together, as you can imagine, from different teams. They played each other all year long. They hated each other. They hurt each other all year long, and now these best of the best are coming together to make a team. Imagine what that looks like the first day. It wasn't pretty. And Coach Herb Brooks knew everything about it. So what do you do? You begin to push these young guys, and try to get them to forget about the division, and so he made them work hard on the ice. Did a lot of suicides. You know what those are? Going back and forth and back and forth. You would ask them the question, who do you play for? And one of the guys would say, I play for Detroit. The other guy play for Washington. Get back on the line. Let's do some more suicides. To the point where they were getting sick and throwing up. You couldn't do that today. You'd be in trouble. But I like Herb Brooks, because he was trying to get something across to these young guys, and he really did. One night, he continued to make them go back and forth, and they were just sick as could be. Finally, late night, as they continued their suicides, one young man says, as he asks the question, who you're playing for, the young man says, I play for Team USA. After he said that, he stopped all the suicides, and it was done. They got the point that it was not about them or their team, but it was about one team, one goal. It was Team USA. And it was amazing that the United States beat Russia that day. It was a miracle on ice, as they call it in that movie that they have on that. It was amazing. They had lost just a few weeks before 10-3 to Russia, and that day they beat them. You see, the team spirit makes a big difference. This is the power when man is united together. Imagine the power when men come together for the cause of Christ. Imagine when the family puts aside their division to come together. Imagine when the church puts aside and those divisions that really don't matter squat at the end of the day, they really don't matter. It's just me getting my way and my rights. It's not going to make the difference. It only hurts. But come together for the common goal. You know what happens? Wonderful things happen. Great things happen. Imaginable things happen when people come together. And God gets the glory. You know, in our text it says, I've planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase, so then neither he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth anything, but God that gives the increase. I don't want to lower the self-esteem tonight, but anything. And if you know what you know about scriptures, you know that you're much value to God, okay? Don't miss the point. But when it comes to us doing things and thinking it's us doing all this stuff and I've got to do this and putting pressure on people and, you know, let God do the work. It's him that does it. We're just a tool in the old shed. And as a tool, we just need, you know, we really can't say much. We're just a tool, right? We just need to be a place where we just say, God, just simply use that tool. Just use it. A little rough on the edges, but God, just use that tool and do great and mighty things to that tool. I like that, don't you? That's wonderful, because that's what God does. Just want somebody to say, hey, God, use this tool right here and do great and mighty things with it. And I've seen so much in the Christian life, and people put so much pressure on themselves. Oh, Pastor, I'm trying to get these people to Christ. I am in agreement that we want people to come to Christ. But you know what? You're a tool. Be there for them. Love them. Pray for them. But it's God that giveth the increase. It's God that does the work. Just go loving. Hey, people say, I don't know what to tell them, preacher. I don't know what to do. I just share your testimony how God has changed your life. And say, is there anything I can do for you? Pray for you? Are you interested in this? Let God do it. It's God's spirit that moves in man to bring him. So that's wonderful. Let God. We're just good old tools. Number three, obstacle. Not only is lack of maturity, absence of worker, but lack of vision here. And that's what we need in these days is a vision. 1 Corinthians 3:9 and 10, the scripture says, for we are laborers together with God, for we are God's husbandry. We are God's building, Paul tells them. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as wise master builder, I have laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereupon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Paul really gives them the real picture here. He says, you know, the foundation's been laid, and let's build. And that's what the process is. We're trying to build people's lives. Get your mind off all that division, envy, and jealousy, and realize what we're doing. Get the big picture. We're in the business of building lives for the Lord. You're going to be at work tomorrow. You're going to be around different people. That's our business, to build lives and to point people to the Lord. What a privilege that we get to do it, isn't it? And I understand what it's like to be in business. I'm in it with different people. And I always say, Lord, give me an opportunity. Open up an opportunity to share. And it's amazing, isn't it? We don't have to try to make it fit where it doesn't fit, but God, some way, makes it work and makes it happen to where I like to have a big old Bible on my desk there at work, and they come in and say, what's that? That right there is a great opportunity. You should try that. There's opportunities. It's the question is, are we willing just to take the time? We need to keep that vision in the forefront all the time. Change and personal growth, it doesn't happen by chance. It doesn't happen by chance. It takes a vision. We're starting out a new year. It's going to take some planning. It's going to take organization. And the old devil is going to try to remind you that you've done that 25, 30, 40, 50 times, 50 years, and it just doesn't seem to stick. Well, go get up again and do it again. And get better plan and get some advice. Huh? And invest, because that's what's going to make the whole difference for your coming year. Plan and organize and prepare. I got too much to do. Well, much more the reason to be planned and prepared. List of things. The success of the Christian life is found one day at a time. Praise the Lord for that. I don't have to think about 1 week from now. One day at a time. Some of you are overwhelmed. It's because we're thinking about all the things. Just one day at a time. Take one task at a time. And you're going to get home that way. You're going to be okay that way. One step at a time. That's the way it's supposed to be. Guided by biblical principles, let that guide you. Morals. Takes a vision, that's all. And anybody can have that. Two young men in the evening went to the pastor's house with the intention of going in and talking to the pastor to give their lives to the Lord. When they arrived at the fence, one said to the other, "I don't think I'm going to go with you." And he resisted all persuasion to enter. He who came in that evening accepted Jesus Christ. He became a preacher whom God has greatly used. And the other who left that evening went to drink and ended up gambling and immoral activities. And a few months later, they found him dead. He who had a vision, the first one had a vision for his future, and the other, without a vision, thought only of himself. It's a difference. So important, young people, so important, parents. Continue to have a vision that will guide you. Let principles guide you. Get a game plan in order to guide you. A spiritual vision is necessary for the success of each of our lives, your family, your business, your church, your personal life. And I want to encourage you as we head into this new year. What's your vision for your personal life, your family, your church, your future? I would write down those things in each areas. Say where I want to be by the end of the year. What do I want to have accomplished? And do it one day at a time. You've heard this 10 million times, I know. But we keep on struggling. And then we wonder why things are advancing. Why are we not changing? Ready to change? Let's get a game plan. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this simple truth. And Lord, we realize the great need for change and the willingness to change. Lord, there's now a person here that does not want to grow and to move forward. Lord, we sometimes don't realize the obstacles that are in the way. So give grace tonight that each one of us can look in our own hearts and lives and deal with those obstacles and put into place a game plan. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name, and that you would get glory in our lives. Amen.